He died. Shishira Samson, the Gopa Gopina, Samson, Radakun, Girigo, Dan Kijan, Shri, Dan Kijan, the Kuru Dan Kijan, Abhavi Dan Kijan, Raghunath Puri Dan Kijan, Raghunath Swami Kijan, Jamuna Mai Kijan, Dharva Mai Kijan, Bhakti Dei Kijan, Srimad Titosi Maharani Kijan, Raghavaya Bhakti Vandu Kijan, Gaur Premandi. All glories to the seven devotees, all glories to the seven devotees, all glories to the seven devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Hare Krishna, reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 5, entitled Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam. We're reading text 27. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Hithirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator, by regular attendance and classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees. All that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Again, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 27. Tasmin tada labda ruchir mahamate. Tasmin tada labda ruchir mahamate. Priyashravasya kalita matir mama. Yayaham etat sarasat svamayaya.
Yayaham etat sarasat svamayaya.
Pasye mayi brahmani kalpitam pare.
Pasye mayi brahmani kalpitam pare.
Tasmin tada labta ruchir mahamate.
Tasmin tada labta ruchir mahamate.
Priyashravasyas Kalita matir mama.
Priyasavasi ashkalita matir mama.
Yasyaham etad sarasat svamayaya.
Jayaham etad sarasat svamayaya.
Pasye mayi brahmani kalpitam pare.
Pasye mayi brahmani kalpitam pare.
Tasmin tada labta ruchir mahamate. Priyashravasyas akhalita matir mama.
Priyashravasyas akhalita matir mama.
Yayaham etat sarasat svamayaya.
Yayaham etat sarasat svamayaya.
Pasye mayi brahmani kalpitam pare.
Pasye mayi brahmani kalpitam pare.
Tasmin.
Tasmin.
It being so. Tada,
at that time,
labta,
achieved,
ruchi,
taste,
mahamate,
O
great
sage,
priyashravasi,
upon the Lord,
akhalita mati,
uninterrupted attention,
mama,
mine,
yaya,
by
which Aham,
I,
Etat,
all these,
Sat
Asat,
gross and subtle. Svamayaya,
one's own ignorance.
Pasye,
see,
Mayi,
in me,
Brahmani,
the supreme,
Kalpitam,
is accepted,
Pare,
in transcendence.
Translation
and purports by His Divine Grace.
Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
O great sage.
Okay, so this is Narada speaking to Vyasadeva.
O great sage, as soon as I got a taste of the personality of Godhead, my attention to hear of the Lord was unflinching.
And as my taste developed, I could realize that it was only in my ignorance that I accepted gross and subtle coverings, for both the Lord and I are transcendental.
Very, very, there's a lot there.
Okay, we'll just read it together one more time.
O great sage, as soon as I got a taste of the personality of Godhead, my attention to hear of the Lord was unflinching. And as my taste developed, I could realize that it was only in my ignorance that I accepted gross and subtle coverings, for both the Lord and I are transcendental. Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Actually, I'm going to go. Om Aginate Mirandasya Jinanjana Salakaya Chakshur Miltam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I am completely indebted to him and beg for service life after life. Srila Prabhupada's going to talk about that darkness of ignorance right in a couple of first sentences of the purport.
Okay, purport. Ignorance in material existence is compared to darkness. And in all Vedic literatures, the personality of Godhead is compared to the sun. So does a verse from the Vedas come to your mind just by saying that one sentence?
That's a great one. That's not the one I was thinking. But what's the translation to that one?
Krishna is like a sun.
Very good. The one that I was thinking of, I can't remember exactly, I'm sure you'll put. Jyotirgama, you know,
Tamasi,
which is the darkness. Now that you've come to the human form of life, get out of the darkness, come to the light. Get out of the darkness of ignorance, take advantage of this human form of life, come to the light of understanding who you are. Here's the verse that you were quoting. Wherever there is light, there cannot be darkness. Hearing of the Lord's pastimes is itself transcendental association with the Lord, because there is no difference between the Lord and his transcendental pastimes. So that's a very, very important point, a very basic point in Krishna consciousness, that Krishna is the same as his name. So we think of that, perhaps we might think of that, oh, he's the same as his name, so when I'm chanting japa, Krishna's there on my tongue. Yes, true. But he's the same as his name, he's the same as his past, he's the same as speaking about or hearing about his pastime. So he's actually there. In fact, there's in this story of the speaking of the Bhagavatam, it's stated that the sages invite Yamaraj to come with, to come and hear, because who's ever speaking about the transcendental pastimes and topics of the Lord, they're beyond death. They're beyond the clutches of death. Doesn't mean that they don't die, but it means that they don't die in ignorance, is what it means. Okay. To become associated with the Supreme Light is to dissipate all ignorance. By ignorance only, the conditioned soul wrongly thinks that both he and the Lord are products of material nature. It's quite amazing how our illusion is
so subtle and at the same time like iron chains. I was actually had a teeny weeny minuscule glimpse of that the other day while I was chanting my japa. And I realized it's just a question of where I focus my mind. Ignorance or on Krishna. You know, total realization isn't there, far from it, that's for sure. But at the same time, the possibility of total enlightenment is just a question of focusing your mind. It's not that you have to earn $5 million by your hard labor before you can go back to Godhead. It's not that you have to move the mountain from, you know, 40 feet over to another place. It's not that you have to win all the Olympic gold medals in all the different sports. Nothing like that. And if you look at it, look at what the endeavor that the individuals do to do things like that. When my husband and I lived in Spain for a while, at one particular point we went over to Switzerland, someplace. We went over. Anyway, we went through a tunnel in a mountain that was 17 miles long. Imagine the endeavor that they had to do to bore that rock, take it out, whatever. Reinforce it, pave it, keep it up, put the air in there, blah, 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 blah. To do that, huge endeavors. But that's not the same, it's nothing like the endeavor that we have to make. It doesn't compare. We don't have to make that kind of physical endeavor to focus our, to go back home, back to Godhead. We just have to want to. We just have to want to. And how does that desire to go back to Godhead develop and increase? It's not that, okay, if you don't want to go back to Godhead, then you're not qualified to enter the Krishna consciousness movement. No. Wherever we're at when we start, that desire will increase by this process of hearing. We hear this so many times, the benefit of hearing and the importance of what we're hearing. The importance of what we're hearing and the effects of what we're hearing. And we can probably, all of us, even more so now in this present circumstance, experience the effects of hearing. If, for example, a person is tuned in to mundane vibration a lot, then what happens now in a circumstance like this? One most probably becomes overcome by anxiety and fear because they're hearing that vibration. Oh, this is happening, and that is happening, and these many people are dying, this and that, and there's no this, and the hospital's overwhelmed, but this, overcome by anxiety and fear. If one turns the channel, click, and listens to the Bhagavatam or Kirtan or reads Srila Prabhupada's books or hears a pastime of the Lord, there's a total different effect. And it's a practical experience. It's a practical thing that each one of us can experience right now. And that is a faith-building experience. And it builds our faith in the process. It's not that I'm not listening to any news, but I'm not listening to much news. Because, as Prabhupada says, it's all the same. They're just the names and places are changed. But anyway, aside from what I'm doing, that's not the point. But when I focus my attention on Krishna and Krishna's service and glorifying Krishna and the holy name, it's a whole nother state of consciousness. We can feel that, we can experience that. And that gives us faith to apply ourselves more and more to the process. So if we're feeling, if a person is feeling, or when, because the modes of nature are always changing and we feel differently and more determined at some times and less determined at other times. That's the modes of nature. But when we feel less determined, if we can just pick up a book, it's not a hard thing. Or listen or hear transcendental sound vibration. You'll be encouraged. You'll be encouraged to do it more and more. And you can analyze, you can self-analyze. As the anxiety increases in your life, it could be that there's a lack of spiritual sound vibration or transcendental association. So that should encourage us to get more of it. I'll continue on with the purport. Okay, so that sentence that I just read, actually, I want to say more about it, but I'll try to finish the purport. By ignorance only, that's, I just read that. By ignorance only, the conditioned soul wrongly thinks that both he and the Lord are products of material nature. Can you remind me to come back to that in case I forget? Okay. But in fact, the personality of Godhead and the living beings are transcendental, and they have just a little bit to do. No, that's not what it says. They have nothing to do with the material nature. Nothing to do with material nature. Shall I say it again? Nothing. We have nothing to do with material nature. We just think we do. And because we think so strongly, and we have obligations and this and that, we think, yes, these are my obligations. And yes, in one sense, yes, they are, to family, this and that. Yes, they are, in one sense. But actually, guess what? In reality, no, they're not. You don't have anything to do. For just as the example that's been given a bazillion times, the living entities come together in the waves of the river, the little straws together, and sometimes they're together in this little teeny whirlpool, and that's a little family, and then the straws go floating off, and they go on. And just like, oh, how about this example? How many times we've heard that we've taken many births before, right? We've heard that millions of times also. So in this life, I'm thinking, here I am an American, here I am a lady, here I am getting old, close to death, and here I am this and that, so many identifications I have of myself. But what do I remember my last life? And my desires that were so strong in my last life that I wanted to do this and that, and I had that responsibility and this. I don't remember anything of those. They're gone. I don't remember any of the people that I was with in my last life, who I was really attached to then, too. I was really attached to them then, too. And here I am in another life. I've totally forgotten them. And I'm thinking, this is the all in all. That is called ignorance. But Srila Prabhupada's bringing us out of ignorance. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. When ignorance is removed, it's perfectly realized that there's nothing existing without the personality of Godhead. Then nescience is removed. I'm going to read that again. When ignorance is removed and it is perfectly realized that there is nothing existing without the personality of Godhead, then nescience is removed. It's so interesting, too, because in our preliminary understandings of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, I'm the light of the sun and the moon, I'm the taste of water, of seasons, I am flower-bearing spring, and we're getting our spring flowers starting to come out now. He says so many things. I'm of mountains, I'm Meru, of aquatics, I'm sharks, everything. He gives an example of everything. And still, we walk around with our eyes closed in the material world, even though they look like they're open, and we see, where's God? There's no God. I don't believe in God. He's not helping me. You know, he's not, why is he allowing the suffering of the living entities, etc., etc.? We don't see it. But actually, reality is, there's nothing but Krishna in existence. Nothing but Krishna in existence. So that's why we need to turn the channel of our attention to transcendental enlightenment. And you can see, there's a purport in this first canto, somewhere before the ninth chapter, because that's where we're studying up to in Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu's Bhagavatam study. We're actually on the tenth chapter now. Anyway, there's a purport where Srila Prabhupada says, seeing in the darkness is not seen. So interesting, huh? Because all of us during Brahma Muhurta hour, you're out there and whatever you're doing, you're chanting, and you know, you go out of your house and you see where your car is. You get in your car and you come and you turn the lights on so you can see in the road and this and that. And you come and whatever. But actually, we're seeing a few things, but you're not seeing the colors of the grass, you're not seeing the colors in the trees, you're not seeing so many things you're not seeing. You're not seeing the deer jump out in front of you either. Huh? Sorry. But whatever. You're not really seeing. It looks like you're seeing. You're seeing what you need to see to get from where you're going. But in the darkness, you're not really seeing. There's so much there. And all the sun has to do is come up, even a little bit. And there's so much to be more to be revealed. So that's the comparison, how Godhead is light, and nescience is darkness. Okay, and when nescience is removed, then one sees more and more and more the personality, the personality of Godhead, who's providing everything. He's providing the wind, he's providing the water, he's providing the foodstuffs for all of us to maintain ourselves. He's providing everything. Without him, nothing would exist. And so we need to start to train ourselves to see that and appreciate that, and then with a little training and a little appreciation, it comes more naturally as the heart becomes cleansed. Continuing in the purport, since the gross and subtle bodies are emanation from the personality Godhead, the knowledge of light permits one to engage both of them in the service of the Lord. Gross and subtle bodies. So there's what I was going to say about that verse, that line a little bit before. That sentence where Prabhupada says, but in fact the personality of God and the living beings are transcendental and they have nothing to do with material nature. So that reminded me, and this one also reminds me, so I'm going to say here, of the Buddhasutti prayer. I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not this, I'm not that. What am I? I'm an eternal servant of the Lord, the servant of the Lord, who's the master of the gopis. And then the next prayers, I mentioned this before in a class, but the next prayers say, out of my ignorance, I've been inimical to the Lord since time immemorial, and out of my ignorance only, I've been identifying with the gross and subtle body. But because now I've come in contact with my spiritual master, now I can understand, or begin to understand, I have nothing to do with this gross body. But it doesn't just say the gross body. Oftentimes we think, oh yes, I'm not my body, I'm not my body. You can remember that. But we're not our mind either. Yippee, thank you, Krishna. We're not our mind. Our mind is materially covered. That's not who we are. We have another transcendental, pure mind that's totally attached to Sri Krishna and serving Srila Prabhupada and his devotees. The gross body should be engaged in acts of rendering service to the Lord. Now, this is very interesting because this has a little bit to do, a little connection to what I was saying earlier. So Prabhupada's saying the gross body should be engaged in acts of rendering service to the Lord. And very interestingly, he gives such simple ways that the body should be engaged in the service of the Lord. As in bringing water, cleansing the temple, polishing the silver, or making obeisances to the Lord. Again, the point is, it's not hard. Just do it somehow or other. Do it, a simple service to the Lord. Offer your activities to the Lord. There's so much to be gained by that. We were reading last night was Brihat Bhagavatamrita, our online reading, and there was a discussion a little bit about the mind, what the function, you know, how to, but the function of the mind, although it's gross, our gross and subtle covering, the function of the mind is to, it has the choice, engage in nescience or in dark, or in light. So even though it's a material covering, material elements, and our body is material, it's our vehicle to use in spiritual service. It's how we can use those things and spiritualize them. So in the Gita, Sri Krishna says, the mind can be your friend. It can be, but it's not always your friend. And in the conditioned state, it's practically never your friend. Practically always the mind is bringing you down. I'm not worthy, I'm not capable, I don't want to, it doesn't make me happy, whatever. It has a million songs it sings. If we had a series, The Song of the Mind, my God, we'd go on. We actually, on second thought, we do have the series, The Song of the Mind. The Song of the Mind is all the material vibrations out there. I want this, I want that, I'm not happy, I'm this, this is my enemy, this is my friend. That's the Song of the Mind. the uncontrolled mind in nescience. But bringing that mind to transcendental light, to the light of transcendental knowledge, it will sing a different song. Okay, so continuing. The path of archana, or worshiping the Lord in the temple, involves engaging one's gross body in the service of the Lord. So what's the verse that Prabhupada says all the time for that? Engaging our senses in the service of the Lord. I can hear you all saying it. Hrishikesha what? Hrishikesha, yeah. Engaging the senses in the service of Hrishikesha. Very good. Similarly, I can hear. Similarly, the subtle mind should be engaged in hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, thinking about them, chanting his name, etc. All such activities are transcendental. None of the gross or subtle senses should otherwise be engaged. That's worth repeating. None of the gross or subtle senses should otherwise be engaged. Such realization of transcendental activities is made possible by, and this is the, it's very sweet. Here it is, okay. I'm gonna start again. Such realization of transcendental activities is made possible by many, many years of apprenticeship, of sadhana, of practicing in the devotional service. But simply attraction of love for the personality of Godhead as it was developed in Narada Muni by hearing is highly effective. So sweet and so important. That little bit of devotion that we have that makes you do a little bit extra, like polishing the Lord's silver when no one told you to do it. You do it because you want to see it shiny for the Lord's pleasure. Those little simple acts of devotion, you don't have to have a PhD, you don't have to this, you don't know, whatever. Those little acts of devotion, that's what Krishna sees. He sees, look at my devotee trying. So then during the day when we're struggling this and that to do all our other things that we have to do just to maintain the body, Krishna, he's remembering that. Krishna remembers that. And not only will he remember, let's just say a person engages with their, with good intention and determination in the Lord's service for some time. And then due to, as Prabhupada says, various circumstances, they might fall away for various reasons, because perhaps their determination or circumstances, whatever, they might fall away. And perhaps they'll never come back to devotional service in this particular lifetime. No problem in that sense, because Krishna remembers that time when that person brought a flower and offered it to the Lord. Remember that circumstance in, I think it was in Mumbai, when the worker that was helping to build the Juhu temple brought in some flowers and plopped them on Prabhupada's desk. And then he's in his little old lungi, working lungi, and then he goes out. And Prabhupada was so touched by that. He says, there, he's started. Or again, the classic example that we all know on the other side of the world in 65 or 66, in the very beginning days, when the drunken person, it was mentioned in class recently, when the drunk comes in, well actually it was a different class I was listening to, but it's okay, it was mentioned in class recently, the drunken person comes in and brings a roll of toilet paper and then stumbles out. And Prabhupada says, just see, his service has begun. Krishna never forgets that. And what is his promise in the Bhagavad Gita? That one who is engaged in some devotional service, they never lose the benefit of that. They never lose the credit of that devotional service. And they'll pick up in their next life where they left off. And they might bring some more flowers or whatever. They might get some more prasad, whatever. They'll continue on. And the whole course of their life is changed because of that. So those are simple little things, and we all can do them, even in highly stressful times, even in when we're engaged to the max, even when we're under a lot of pressure. We can do some volunteer, heartfelt, little simple offering to the Lord, and it's highly effective. So this is To me, that last sentence is the most encouraging and succinct of all of this particular purport. Such realization, I'm reading it again, such realization of transcendental activity, that means, okay, sorry, I'm going to read the sentence without interrupting myself. Such realization of transcendental activities is made possible by many, many years of apprenticeship in devotional service, but simply attraction of love for the personality of Godhead, as was developed in Narada Muni by hearing, is highly effective. So then, to review Narada, or the situation in this chapter and the previous chapters, Narada is explaining his previous life, how he came to that state that he's in now, to his disciple Vyasadeva, who, after compiling a tremendous, tremendous amount of literature, Vedic literature, compiled it, writing it down with the help of Ganesh, Ganesh wrote it down, Vyasadeva dictated. Somebody's been distracted. It's okay. They're okay. Vyasadeva, Narada is explaining how he, in a humble circumstance of a maid servant's son, a five-year-old boy, lost his mother. Just in case you hear a little background noise, it's a little animal outside. It's okay. Yeah, must be crying for Krishna. Maybe. He could
be. Eating some lizard.
Whatever. But Krishna hears that little cry and he feels that he's crying for him. Krishna sees it in a different way. Okay. Narada, in his previous life as a simple maidservant's son, when he didn't do anything by his own endeavor to hear from those sages. They were traveling, and then it was the rainy season, and they stayed in the place where he was. So there he was, a five-year-old boy. He got to hear. But interestingly enough, if you go and look at the backstory too, that's also interesting because again, it confirms the philosophy that we've heard many times and that we were speaking of. Whatever we do is never lost. So in his life previous to the maidservant's son, he was a demigod.
Upavaya.
Thank you. Upavaya.
Upavaya.
Yeah, thanks. He was a demigod and by circumstance was cursed to take birth in a low situation. So he took birth in a quote-unquote low situation. But it wasn't lost. It wasn't whatever he had gained in his previous life, you know, whatever attraction he had for glorifying the Lord, he again took it up. So you can think, whatever little bit I do, it's never lost. So therefore, I'm okay, I don't have to do anymore. Because I heard once the Bhagavatam, or I heard this or that, I don't have to do anymore, let me do what I want. That's okay, that's still glorious. We've done something. But we could also have the attitude, whatever little I do, let me do as much as I can. Let me make the endeavor now, even though I have tons and millions of other things on my list of things to do, besides extra hearing, and besides extra service, and besides extra chanting. Let me try to put a little bit more hearing and chanting in my life. Let me take advantage of this time, put a little more hearing and chanting. Little more, little more, little more, and the taste will gradually develop. You'll see. As you already saw, you've already seen and experienced. So there's that, so cultivate, it's a taste that can be cultivated. It's not that, oh, I'm fallen and my past is sinful and I can't control my mind and I don't have any qualifications. Yeah, we all have that. And let's make the endeavor to make more progress. Okay, I'm gonna stop there. If there are any comments or questions, you can text him in, and thanks to Pran Govinda, who is very diligently taking care of everything all the time. He's still there doing it today also. Thank you for the...
A few appreciating your class. No comment, question yet, but real.
There was one thing. There was one thing I heard a devotee quote a Sanskrit sloka, And I thought, boy, I should try to learn that sloka, but I don't know where it's from. So anyway, the sloka he quoted was whatever, and he said, if you've heard anything nice in this class, don't give me the credit. The credit goes to Srila Prabhupada and the other devotees that I've heard. And if you've heard anything wrong, yep, that's me. So you can correct that. It was a very nice, a very to the point sloka.
Okay, I got a few questions. Wow.
You can take the top two. You can just click on.
Okay. That one?
The bottom, yeah.
We have, this is from Madhava in Cleveland, Ohio. Okay, Haribol Madhava. We have to pray for a tiny drop of the courage of Narada, who, according to this verse, realizes that not only does the Lord have nothing to do with either material nature, but neither does he. This realization seemed to go hand in hand with his decision to continue on the path of developing taste. What seems so hard is accepting our constitutional transcendental nature. Yeah. And the reason that it's hard is because we're covered. Okay, when I first read Srila Prabhupada's purport to Bhagavad Gita 4.10, I was floored by the naked truth he was presenting about attachment, fear, and anger. Vitaraga bhaya krodha. And I knew I had large quantities of ease. Thanks for your encouraging class.
Yeah.
Another one just came in too.
So you can take this one or this one.
Okay. So here's another one from a telephone number. Okay. Oh, from Chetamayi Dasi in Boston. Oh, thanks for whatever. Okay. Please explain the translation of the word for word sat-asa as gross and subtle. Yes, interesting, right? Sat. Sat means eternal. And asat means temporary. Now it's gross and subtle. Yeah, that shows me that I don't know enough Sanskrit. But obviously there must be, because Sanskrit is a language that has, each word has many translations. So gross and subtle. Would you like to explain why asat means gross and subtle and not mean eternal and temporary? Yeah, that's how it's translated. Yeah, so that my preliminary take on it is that just like actually if you were hearing, I don't know if you heard yesterday's class, the previous class by Nagaraj Prabhu, he was talking about how different words should, you know, Sanskrit is like that. Different words have different meanings and different contexts. So normally, sat asat mean, or sat could be eternal and asat could be temporary, but because gross and subtle, it must have some other.
Also, you can say that in Bhagavad Gita, living in heaven is considered immortal.
Yeah, because
but that's not immortal.
Correct.
But compared to our, yes, it is long, long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in that sense, sat is subtle because it is almost like impossible to see or to perceive easily.
Correct. Okay. And another thing that I thought of, Prabhu was. This is why we need the translation, the purport by the realized soul. Because if it was an unrealized soul translating, they might translate it in a different way and miss the point there. So that's why, well again, those basic instructions that we've heard, you have to hear from the right source. You have to hear from the learned personalities.
Okay, the next question from Mother Agatmika. In purport, Srila Prabhupada says, none of the gross or subtle senses should otherwise be engaged. Give examples of subtle senses. Do we have a spiritual and material mind, or one mind that gets purified?
Okay, first things first, gross and subtle senses. The subtle senses are the, you know, you hear, That's a subtle, you know, you have an ear, that's gross. And what's the, what do you call it, the object or whatever, the ear? You hear, you can hear things, so that's the subtle. You have eyes, the physical eyes are there on your face, and what is it? It's seeing. Those are the subtle things that they're seeing. That's my understanding.
It is Bhagavatam 6.1.52. There's a verse it says that Prabhupada explains this, or he translated, that there's a 16 subtle senses, what actually manifests in a physical. So both are there simultaneously.
Thanks. And what was that? She had another part there too?
Do you have a spiritual and material mind or one mind that gets purified? Like Prabhupada says, gloves.
Gloves.
The physical body, the physical senses are like a gloves.
Because and there's a subtle. There exists.
So the soul also has a mind. And when this mind purified, it is actually become, not becomes, it just reveals the soul.
It's there.
Yeah.
Thanks. I needed a little help with that one. Thanks.
Okay, one more from Mother Vishnu Priya. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Vishnu Priya. Simple acts of devotion, so sweet class. Thank you. Huh? My question is, we are in this life as Srila Prabhupada's disciples, but what about the next life? Will we be Srila Prabhupada's disciples again, eternally?
That's a great question. Is there more to it?
Will we be in his direct association and tendering service again? I pray this is so. Please.
Yes. Yes, you will be. And it might manifest in a different way. But we're eternally linked. Everybody is eternally linked to Srila Prabhupada. And so he'll make the perfect arrangement. And the perfect arrangement is that you'll be serving him directly wherever he is. And if by chance the circumstances work in a different way, he'll still be perfectly linked with you and encouraging you and directing your wanderings, you know, so that you go to the right, so that just like say for Narada. This is my speculation, but like Narada. He didn't go anywhere to hear those sages. They came by how did Prabhupada say? By the divine arrangement. He talked about that, about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. Sorry, I'll tell you that in a minute. Those sages came to where Narada Muni was, and he got the opportunity to hear. That's a divine arrangement. So through him, through the Lord, we'll have that divine connection. So that triggered the remembrance of when Srila Prabhupada talks about, it's actually in the sixth chapter of the Gita, when it's talking about the unsuccessful yogi in his next life, he'll if he's performed a little bit of, or if he's not very far advanced, he'll get birth in a wealthy family, this and that, is that, yeah, and if he's very advanced, yoga rudrasya, he'll take birth in a family of transcendentalists. I believe it's there in the purport that, you know, and he probably says that, or that birth is rare. But I believe it's there in the purport, Prabhupada says, and somehow or other, Srila Prabhupada, by the transcendental arrangement of the Supreme, he came in contact with whom? With Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj. And we're all very familiar with the story. It appeared that Prabhupada wasn't, he didn't make an endeavor looking to meet Bhakti Siddhanta in that particular time. The circumstance was he was dragged by his friend Narendra to go see Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. I've seen it. But that was the outward appearance. But the real reason was the drag of their connection was there. And that brought them together. So we'll have that connection. Would you
one
like
more
to add
question.
Anything?
That's good.
Okay.
One more question from Mother Semapriya. In Brahma Samhita, the highest devotion is attained by slow degrees, by method of constant endeavor for self-realization with the help of scriptural evidence,
yes,
theistic conduct, and perseverance in practice.
Yes.
Nandaji, please compare this to the last sentence in part.
Okay. It's exactly, it compares exactly well, doesn't it? That by those endeavors, those little endeavors, the slow degrees, because Prabhupada says after many, many years of apprenticeship and devotional service, but by slow degrees one attains the highest perfection. So one might think, oh, slow degrees, many, many births more, oh no. That reminds me of the, and I mentioned it in the class on Gopurnima, of Mukunda. When Mukunda heard that he had to take 10, he was separated from the Lord for 10 million births. Was it Mukunda? Did I have the right person? Okay. He started to dance in joy because 10 million births was nothing compared to the amount of births that he had already taken. So, and then when Lord Chaitanya told him to come, the devotees questioned, Krishna, the Supreme Controller, and his pure transcendental agent, Srila Prabhupada, they can arrange things time-wise and condense time and stretch time. Anyway, so yes, it has to be an, no, it doesn't have to be our slow endeavor, but if it is a little endeavor that we make slowly, it's progress. It's progress that never is lost. Never is lost. So it compares, it's very, the same message is there, highly effective. Hearing is highly effective to give us more impetus to go on. Thanks, Sama.
This is from Mother Swaha. Please, can you please repeat what you were referring to from your readings on Brihad Bhagavatam?
About the mind. Yeah, last night. I'm trying to remember the circumstances of the verse that was brought up the question of it, which I can't. But if Madhumati's listening, maybe she could type it in and remind me. Anyway, the question was, if the mind is material, if the mind is material, how is it that we use it in spiritual service? Something to that effect, which, as soon as I just said that sentence, reminded me of the prayers by the personified Vedas. The prayers by the personified Vedas actually deals with that exact question. Maharaj Parikit asks Sukadeva Goswami, if the mind is material, or he actually says, if the tongue is material, and my body is material, then how can I it was the personified Vedas were asking that question.
Anyway, similar is there.
Yeah. How can I vibrate transcendental sound vibration with a material tongue? How can I? How is it possible for a material apparatus to vibrate a transcendental sound vibration? And if you're reading that story through Krishna book, it's very mysterious, because right there in the beginning of the story, after that sentence is expressed, Srila Prabhupada says, this proves that the personality of Godhead is the person. And I was always left scratching my head, what? How does the question prove that the Supreme Personality, that God is a person? And then through the whole philosophical, many, many pages of the personified Vedas prayers, the synthesis is that because the Supreme Lord, because the Lord is a person and he is all potent, he has the power to make what appears to be material vibration, he empowers it transcendentally. So the Lord is a person because he's doing that to the words Hare Krishna, and he's not doing it to the words Coca-Cola. So he's a person. He's empowering those words with transcendental potency and vibration, and the rest of the vibration is material. You know, so that transcendental vibration, he is empowering it with transcendental potency. So that is the similar analogy about the mind. The mind inside the gross and subtle body, it appears like a material thing. But when it focuses on transcendental vibration and transcendental topics, that's empowered by Krishna, the supreme potent person, to make that vibration have a different effect. It has a different effect on the heart and mind and consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Jai. One more. It's from SZM. One devotee. Perhaps it's that the soul.
Sita D. Mooney. Perhaps
it's that the soul in its original condition exhibits activities we identify as mind. Whereas in present condition, those activities influenced by three modes. After all, it said the spiritual body is non-different from the self in the original condition, and so on.
Can you just read it again? It's a comment. It's a great comment, but...
Perhaps it's that the soul in its original condition exhibit activities we identify as mind.
As mind? In its original position, the soul is doing that? Is that what it corrects?
That's what it says.
Okay.
Whereas in present condition, those activities influenced by the modes. If I am trying to understand what when Prahladananda Maharaj was here, we are talking about that the consciousness, thinking, willing, feeling, doesn't come from the material source. It comes from the soul,
okay.
From spiritual.
Okay.
But when it channeling down to the subtle filter or mind, you can say false ego, all this, then it shows difference. Original thinking, willing, feeling is there. But it is not exhibiting as origin. It's filtering like a red glass shows everything red. But it is not red. But it is there.
Yeah.
So I guess it's...
So one thing that came to my mind, which is probably not very well related to it, but when he said that the soul in his original consciousness, correct? He says in the beginning, the original consciousness thinks his activities are mind.
Say the original condition, it should be consciousness, okay?
Whatever. But anyway, that mind word made me jump to, when we think Krishna is mind, that's a very highly elevated state of transcendental consciousness. If we think Krishna is mine and I am his, so that's good. That's all I have to say.
Very nice. I have one little comment that in 87 chapter 10 temple.
Yeah, prayers by the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
Correct.
Very nice. One that similar question was asked that how mind, which is avam manasa gochara, composed of the material elements, yet we are focusing that mind should be engaged, mind should be absorbed in the transcendental. How is possible? It cannot never proceed. So the answer is given that the mind can perceive of the transcendental subject matter by the power of bhakti which arises from the mercy of the Lord to his devotees. Very nice.
Nice, huh?
I was saying.
Yeah, no, that's very nice. Want to just read it again, that little phrase. Because it's very good. Because that power of bhakti is svatantra. It's one, at least a whole other discussion, but we're going to end class right now, so two more minutes. You can't get bhakti by your endeavor. Bhakti only comes from a source of bhakti. Bhakti begets bhakti. So you have to hear or get the seed of bhakti from someone who has that bhakti. So, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's good. There's a few more.
More?
Shortly.
Okay. It's time to end class. Sorry. Show this to Nanda.
Oh, it's downloading.
Okay. I can't read it. It's too little, the picture that you're showing me. Someone's showing me a reference. Madhumati. Oh, that what we read last night. Oh, Madhumati. Can you make it bigger? Okay.
Sorry, I don't have it.
That's okay. That's fine. Thank you, Madhumati. And we're going to end class here. Thank you for all your participation and encouragement and all the best of increasing your hearing and chanting as well as you can. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srima Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar ki jai, Krishna Balaram ki jai, Sri Sri Gonitai ki jai, Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Vishnu Dev Bhagavan ki jai, Sri Lakshmi Devi ki jai, and Prahlad Maharaj ki jai.
Thank you.
And all the devotees.